Three, two, three, four. Testing. One, two, three, four. The July 22nd. At the Felix Pedro Monument, where gold was first discovered in commercial quantities in the Tananaw Valley.
Bob, one of the youngest old pioneers, was born in Snohomish, Washington, June 3rd, 1883, and first came to Skagway in 1897 with his father. Bob's father died in 1899, but Bob remained in Alaska, selling newspapers, working boats at Skagway, and later in Juneau and Haines. While in Skagway, he became engineer in charge of the Skagway power plant and built Alaska's first home-built automobile. This automobile now is on display at the University of Alaska Museum. Bob came to Fairbanks in 1908 and was an engineer in the Northern Commercial Company power plant from 1908 to 1913. First stage line. Till 1926, he and his associates operated a stage concession in Mount McKinley National Park until 1940. In April of 1933, he was appointed postmaster in Fairbanks and served for 8 years. Then he became executive director of the Alaska Unemployment Compensation Commission for 10 years until his retirement. Bob was elected to the House of Representatives in the first state legislature. He was a Grand Igloo trustee in 1927 and president of Igloo No. 4 in 1955. He joined Igloo No. 4 shortly after the Igloo was organized in 1910. 1920, he married Ann Bergman, and the couple has one daughter, Mrs. Frances Erickson, and two granddaughters. Bob Sheldon was personally acquainted with Felix Pedro and familiar with Pedro's trip from Circle to the present location of Fairbanks. I'm very happy to introduce to you the speaker of the ceremony today, Mr. Robert E. Sheldon, who has chosen for his subject the life of Felix Pedro. I don't know how soon Bob is going to come to the microphone. It looks as though he's a little occupied now. There'll be just a slight interruption here, but we're going right along schedule.
Another pioneer, master of ceremonies, senior lady pioneers, senior men pioneers, and sister and brother pioneers and visiting friends. The 4-hour speech that I had prepared for this occasion, I'm going to have to cut down on. I didn't realize that the preliminaries were going to take so much time. And while I'm telling my story of how gold was first started, discovered here, and how the town of Fairbanks first started, is a long story. I'll curtail it the best I can, but if anybody feels that they can't take it any longer and want to move on to the coffee and donut stand, I'll forgive you and not hold it against you and think nothing of it. My hip pocket speech that I had all prepared here is going to have to be curtailed, as I said, and ad-libbed to some extent. As has been stated, and by the way, I wish now that I had borrowed one of my wife's overall dresses that I could have put on, and maybe I could have kept them from mentioning my age. As has been stated, we are gathered here today, as we do every summer at this time, to rededicate this monument to our pioneer prospector, who is credited with first discovering gold in this area, from which discovery there started a flourishing mining camp in this area, which has now developed into Alaska's second largest city. The pioneer prospector in question, Felicia Pedroni, known to us as Felix Pedro, left his beloved Italy to come to what he had heard of was the great land of the free and the home of the brave and the land of great opportunity, discovered many years previously by a fellow European. He got to the United States in time to hear the story of the steamer that arrived in Seattle in the fall of 1897 with a ton of gold from Alaska. That report swept over the world with the speed of lightning and fired the imagination of thousands of men all over the world, as well as many red-blooded women who also desired to get transportation to Alaska, because the newspaper report gave the impression that there were many more tons of gold available for the taking. Among the first to come to Alaska in that great stampede was Felix Pedro. The gold did not come from Alaska at all. The gold came from Canada, the Northwest Territory of Canada, adjacent to the boundary of Alaska. But to get to the gold fields, you had to travel through Alaska via Skagway and the White Pass, or via Dyea, a town nearby, over the Chilkoot Pass. That is the reason of the misconception that the gold came from Alaska. There is no record in history, and in my conversations with Felix Pedro, he did not accumulate any quantity of gold in the Klondike region. But his zest for searching for gold was not dimmed by his failure there. So when the Klondike camp started to decline, he crossed the boundary into the then territory of Alaska. And he prospected for 2 or 3 years in the 40-mile country, the Jack Wade district, and several other districts where a small amount of gold had been found. But he believed that in this country there must be gold, and his desire to search for gold was his all-consuming passion. In 1901, he was at Circle City, and it was that summer that, together with his partner, Tom Gilmore, and a couple of pack horses and a dog and food for the summer, they took off from Circle in a southwesterly direction to search for gold along the way, hoping to finally reach the Tanana River, which they knew existed from the maps they carried. And they hoped to get there in time to build a raft, drift down the Tanana to the Yukon, where they could be sure of transportation up the Yukon back to Circle or to some other point. before they got to where we now are. Their food was getting short. The season was starting to close down. So they decided to retrace their steps and go back to Circle and try it again the next year. The next year, 1902, they took off. They decided that the partner, Gilmore, would remain at Circle to earn money to keep his partner in the hills prospecting. So Felix Pedro, with a pack on his back and his faithful dog and gun and gold pan, took off from Circle, covering pretty much the same country they covered before. It was an ordinary Alaska summer. All Alaska summers are very similar. Plenty of daylight, plenty of sunshine, plenty of rain, and plenty of mosquitoes. But Felix Pedro kept on till he finally reached a point opposite this monument in the valley below, where he stopped to prepare his lunch on the 22nd day of July, 1902. It was while he was preparing his lunch that he decided to do a little panning on this creek, which we now know as Pedro Creek. In those days, it was like thousands of other nameless creeks. And he found gold in such quantity here that it encouraged him to feel that there was a possibility of gold being found in this area in sufficient amounts to justify what they called a strike in those days. So he marked the spot and continued on toward the Tanana River in a southwesterly direction. After 3 or 4 hours, he told me of his trip from here to the Tanana. And after 3 or 4 hours' travel, he reached the top of a hill, which I often felt was what we call Engineer Hill, that we just came over with our cars. And he said when he reached the top of that hill, from the brow of the hill looking down on the valley of the Tanana, the beautiful sight that struck his gaze was something that he would never forget, because he saw white smoke curling up from what must have been the smokestack of a steamer, either tied to the bank or moving slowly. He got out his field glasses and examined it, he said, and sure enough, it was a steamer, but he could clearly outline the stack and the white upper structure of a pretty good-sized river steamer. He told me that the time he made from the top of that hill to the point where he found the steamer tied to the bank of the what we call the Chena River, in front of where the Northern Commercial Company store now stands, was the best time he ever made on any part of his journey as far as miles per hour was concerned, because he was getting short of food. The steamer proved to be the steamer Lavelle Young, whose captain was Charles Adams, afterward well known as a Yukon pilot and captain, and who, by the way, passed away only a few months ago in California. The boat was engaged in the business of transporting trading post supplies for a man named E.T. Barnett from St. Michael at the mouth of the Yukon to a point on the upper Tanana known as Tanana Cross. In those days, it was known as Tanana Crossing. He hoped to establish a trading post there because there were several Indian villages there, and the Signal Corps of the United States Army has just completed a telegraph line from Valdez on the coast to Eagle on the Yukon. The telegraph line was built to connect the Army post across the bay from Valdez, known as Fort Liskum, to connect with the Army post at Eagle, known as Fort Egbert. Both Army posts, of course, have long since been abandoned. This steamer Lavelle Young, trying to negotiate the Tanana River, did all right till it came to a point directly south of where Fairbanks now is, when they came to what they call the shallows, or where the Tanana River has spread out over a wide area with many small channels. And the Lavelle Young was a type of boat, a type of construction that when loaded drew over 4 feet of water and could not get by this shallow area. So they dropped back about 10 miles to the mouth of a stream that they noted on their way up and which we know today as the Chena River. And they ran their boat up the Chena River hoping to bypass the narrows or shallows and get back into the Tanana further up above where Fairbanks now is. They found that was impossible for a boat of that size and type, so they tied the boat up to the bank of the Chena River at a point where they, right in front of where the Northern Commercial Company now stands. When Mr. Felix Pedro arrived there and reported his find out here, 20 miles or so easterly from where they were, this Barnett decided to establish his trading post right there where he was and forget about the other location further up the river. Thus began what was known as Barnett's trading post, which afterward developed into the fabulous, flourishing mining camp of Fairbanks, and which now, of course, is the second largest city in Alaska. In our rededication ceremony today, it seems to me, and I think many pioneers will agree, and I think Felix Pedro would agree if he was with us, that we might extend our dedication ceremony to not only the memory of Felix Pedro, but to the memory of those hundreds of early day pioneers, both women and men, who on faith alone came into this interior country and gave of their energies, their talents, and their determination to build a mining camp that has continued on. Many of them gave their lives. And I think it's only proper and fitting that today we extend our dedication to all of those pioneers, as well as to Felix Pedro, because they were responsible for the metropolis of the interior that we, the living, can so comfortably enjoy today. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby, for a very excellent review of Felix's trip into the Fairbanks country, the formation, the foundation of Fairbanks. The wreath, which is now being placed on the monument, is in loving remembrance of Felix Pedro, a true pioneer, and may his great deeds and virtues ever remain green in the memories of Alaskans. Before continuing with the closing portion of the ceremonies, we take this time to to make several introductions and then throw it open to the group to make any introductions in the event that I don't catch all of them. With us today is Mr. and Mrs. Owen Meals. I'm sure many of you recognize the Meals as a Valdez name. Mr. and Ms. Neal, here, will you step forward just a minute? Thank you. Also with us is some more royalty, a queen, Miss Goldenheart, Miss Thayrene Barnett. Step forward, please. I'm not going to attempt to introduce all of the past officers of Igloo number 4, but we do have one, a former past president who is here passing through Fairbanks on a trip, and that is Brother Loftus, Ted Loftus. Ted, where are you? Ted, you indicated that you wanted to do a little bit of talking today, so now's your opportunity. Would you come out here, at least in the center of the road, and introduce the rest of your party? Yes, Ted, the short one. Thank you, Ted. Is there anyone in the group that cares to make any other introductions at this time? Brothers and sisters and friends, we are honored this year to have many things come to Fairbanks area. After 30 years, we have some activity in the University of Alaska. We have the Agricultural College back here. We have the Pioneer Park ground and the dedication started. We have the centennial designation for Fairbanks. And I would like to ask all the pioneers to come back for the Grand Igloo Convention September the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th at Fairbanks this year. Thank you, President Harry. At this time, on behalf of Igloo number 4, we certainly want to help all of the people outside of the igloo who made this ceremony a success. Captain Monigo for providing the men from the Highway Patrol. Certainly there have been some members that have worked silently. We very seldom hear. One of these has been Linda Schaefer, who has done a great deal of work in supplying historical material. Also Amont Hansen, who has supplied some, a considerable amount of historical material. Immediately after the benediction, the coffee and donuts will be served by the Pioneer Women of Alaska at Nick Kupoff's cabin, which is down the road toward Fairbanks, perhaps a quarter of a mile.
Pioneers, men and women, and friends, it's given me great pleasure to have Father Murphy, who will pronounce the benediction.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He hath made heaven and earth. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Let us pray. O God, by whose word all things are sanctified, pour forth thy blessing upon this monument that today has been rededicated to honor Felix Pedro, and grant that whosoever shall visit here with thanksgiving, according to thy law and will, may receive from thee through the invocation of thy holy name, health of body and peace of soul. Through Christ our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
This concludes the ceremony unless anybody wants to come up here and talk.
This is Harry Hughes recording for Pioneers of Alaska Eagle 4 at Fairbanks, Alaska. And this is July the 22nd, 1964, the annual rededication program to the discovery of gold in the Tanana Valley by Felix Spreedo, an early day prospector. There were many other discoveries of gold in Alaska between 1894 and 1902 that caused a great deal of stampedes. There was many stampedes in the Dawson, Nome, Iditarod, Miller Creek, Eagle and Circle. And this is one of the things that brought so many people in the early days to Alaska. This is Harry Hughes, president of Eagle 4, recording this for our records. One, three, four. One, two, 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 three, four.